Political views in the U.S. right now seem to be as divided as they've ever been, even taking into account the Vietnam era, or the Supreme Court's ruling in Bush v. Gore after the 2000 presidential election, and following the 4 years of the Trump administration and the arguments related to the January 6th committee. It feels like the stories we used to hear about elected officials in Washington crossing the aisle, even to have dinner together, are the stuff of fantasy. Political commentator Chris Matthews has been around for most of that since the mid-20th century, through his time working for former U.S. House Speaker Tip O'Neill, to his career as a journalist and host of Hardball on MSNBC. Matthews has a new book, This Country, My Life in Politics and History. I spoke with him recently and asked him whether he'd always been someone interested in talking and arguing about politics.
I've been like that through college, high school. We were always arguing at recess. Arguing politics is what I've done since I can remember. I don't think I'll ever quit. I got to find different ways to do it, but just I do it at dinner parties. I do it at airports. At the drop of a hat, I'll have an argument with you. but I don't think I'm John McEnroe about it. I don't think I get red-faced. No, it's something I did with my grandpa when he was a Democratic committeeman in North Philly, and a neighborhood guy, and I'd argue with him. That's when I was a Republican. He was a Democrat. He had been a Republican. I became a Democrat. So we sort of missed each other in the eras. No, it's always been there. Since the time I always clock it at when I was at a movie theater in 1952 when I was watching a newsreel and this very impressive military guy got on camera. And I asked my dad, is he president? And dad said, nobody will be. Uh-huh. And that was Dwight Eisenhower coming back from NATO.
So, Chris, if we think about you've been alive for the Cold War, for Vietnam. Obviously, you covered Bush Gore, you covered 9/11, and now with Trump. Is this, as a lot of people say, the most divided we've been in your lifetime or no?
I think we've been pretty much 50-50. If you go back to the days of the segregation of the South, which was all Dixiecrats, Democrats, and you take that 22 Senate seats away from the Democratic Party back then, and given to the Republicans, hey, we're about 50-50. The Democrats looked like they had a big spread in the Senate and the Electoral College, et cetera, but they didn't because the South was the solid South for the Democrats back then. Now it's the solid South for the Republicans, but it's the same sort of old conservative on race, certainly, point of view. It just switched uniforms. So we've had a country which was Jack Kennedy couldn't get civil rights through when he was alive. Lyndon Johnson was able to do it in the grief after the assassination. And he got it through because the Republicans provided most of the votes in the Senate. He was able to get enough of the other votes to kill the filibuster. But it was a fight. And because it is 50-50. I look at the elections of Kennedy and Nixon, 50-50, basically. The election of Nixon and Humphrey, basically 50-50. I think it's going to continue. What's different is this guy Trump, who's not really a Republican, he's a Trump, and he's willing to trash the whole system by saying he won the election and lying about it. I mean, that's pretty ghastly.
Well, Chris, let me ask you about some of the leaders, and not to put this on everybody, but of course, a person who, I'm in Phoenix, and John McCain, of course, was our late senator here and made a huge impact on the national and international stage. Not saying he was perfect, obviously, but he was someone—
No, I agree with you. I know what you're getting.
But he was someone who was willing to step in and say things.
Guts. He had a courage, great personal courage. He had a Churchillian quality to him. He could be difficult to deal with. And I became pretty much of a fan of his in the election of 2000 and later. But then at the Al Smith dinner in New York, that great tradition in New York held by the Archdiocese in New York, he said I was out in the audience and said I'm at table 250 because I was sitting with the former governor, Huey Carey's family. And he said, Chris used to like me. Chris used to like me till he found someone new. He said, I can do Maverick. I can't do Messiah. It's above my pay grade because he was talking about my support for my actually being thrilled by Obama. So, but he was very funny. And I thought he took it well. I mean, how can you not look like a guy who can tell a joke like that? You
know? McCain gets a lot of credit for being courageous about even, you know, we have the old John Kennedy book, Profiles in Courage. Are we not seeing U.S. senators who are willing to stand up to a former president for, because they're afraid they're going to lose in a primary? What do you make of that?
I don't like the way Lindsey Graham continues to act like a puppet of Trump's. I don't understand. He's a smart guy. He's a likable guy. I like him. He's terrible, though, when it comes to Trump. He just seems to be unable to face down that, well, what will be or would be a torrent of attack on him. But I don't see any heroism. I mean, Mitch McConnell's playing his own game. He'd be playing this game if there's a Trump, or there never had been a Trump. He wants to win back the majority. He just wants power. He just wants to hold it. I don't know what else he wants. He doesn't want legislation.
Have you paid attention, I presume, to what's going on here in Arizona with the Maricopa County so-called audit? And how much does that trouble you that it seems like there's a pretty high percentage, especially Republicans, who think, yeah, this, we should be doing this. These ballots do need recounting again by a group that seems to be biased.
The mere fact you have to count something by hand or by machine, there will be mistakes. But they're not significant mistakes. They're not result-changing defense mistakes. If you look at the margins that we have in our states tend to be very large. Then occasionally you'll have a result in the hundreds or whatever, but almost always they're not explainable by corruption or cheating. They're not correctable. There's no reason not to believe in our substantial results. I look at Hillary Clinton, as I said, she didn't question the count in Pennsylvania in 2016 or in Missouri, in Michigan or in Wisconsin. She knows how elections are resolved. They're resolved fairly. We don't have a bunch of, there's not a bunch of crooked people around changing ballot numbers. I just don't believe it. I don't see any evidence of it. Trump's people have never come up with anything. The people arguing for different forms of limits and restrictions of it have never come up with anything that's real about the results of elections being wrongly reported. What are we talking about here? That mankind is fallible and therefore we shouldn't have elections? You got to tell me there's some planned attempt to cheat on the election and show me where it worked and where the numbers make sense, and I'll believe it. But nobody's ever come close to that. You know, they haven't. Thank God most people sit and take our names at election day are honest people, and the people who are secretaries of state are honest people. And I just don't believe it. I think he's just causing a lack of faith in our democracy itself is what he's doing at his own, to his own personal advantage. He wants us not to believe in democracy so that he can allow state legislatures to overrule popular votes. Elections go hand in hand with rights. You can't have rights without truly democratic elections, and you can't have truly democratic elections without rights of speech and press and assembly and all that. So I think it's a serious threat to our democracy right now.
That is Chris Matthews. His latest book is This Country, My Life in Politics and History. Of course, he's been journalist for decades, worked for former Speaker Tip O'Neill. Chris, an honor to speak with you. Thanks for the time.
Steve, great show, and we got it on the air.